11, sermon number 2. That's sermon number 1. It's all done. Well, every head bowed, every eye closed. All right, Mark chapter 11 is where we're going to be at tonight. Just a couple of verses talking about prayer in the Bible and what Jesus Christ taught about prayer. There's no greater teacher on prayer than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's our 21st lesson, I think it is, this evening. And in verse number 25 of Mark chapter 11, if you'll find it down there, verse 25, Jesus said this: "And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any," or "when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." Now keep your place there if you would, and turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is the sister passage of Luke chapter 11. It's not Matthew's account of the same thing. There are two different teachings at two different times, but it's the same thought. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 14. This is right after that prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven." And in verse number 14, he says this in Matthew chapter 6: "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Two very strong passages talking about what we've entitled this study tonight: pardon in prayer. Let's go to the Lord together as we begin. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for its preciousness. We thank you for its accuracy, for its exactness. We thank you, Father, for its practicality. God, tonight as we look at this lesson and what you taught to us about prayer and forgiveness, I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts and challenge us. Help us to examine our own lives and our hearts to make sure there's no bitterness and no anger that's tied over that's keeping us from having answered prayer. Lord, bless the study of your word. Be with the children downstairs and those that are working with them. And God, bless them and give them a great time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In these two places, there is a connection between forgiveness and answered prayer. And by forgiveness, I mean this: if we are not willing to forgive others, what these verses tell us, our Heavenly Father is not going to forgive us. Now let me be clear as we start this. This is not talking about salvation. This is not talking about, well, you say, well, if I don't forgive somebody, does that mean I'm not going to heaven? I've trusted Christ as my Savior. So if somebody's wronged me and I don't forgive them, does that mean I'm going to hell? No, absolutely not. Your salvation is signed, sealed, and delivered when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your salvation is not affected by your lack of forgiveness, but your fellowship with God is. And to you and I that are saved, that fellowship with God ought to be as precious to us as our salvation is. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He won't do anything to walk away from us, but we can do things to distance ourselves from Him. And these two verses make it clear that one thing we can do that would distance God from us in our fellowship with Him is being unforgiving toward others. I don't want to teach this lesson. I don't even want to talk about this. I want to move on to something easier, something simpler. You know, I thought about this and meditated. I wonder if I'm speaking to anybody today that's never had anybody done them wrong, or anybody today that's never done anyone else wrong, and so this message is just not for you. And so if that's your case, think about whatever it is you want to think about. But for the rest of us, we're going to deal with the reality that there are times that we struggle with forgiving people, and there are times that we give others difficulties in forgiving us. And the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing this very important, this very heartfelt issue of forgiveness when he brings these things to light. I've written this quote down. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's not from a Christian man, so to speak. It's Mark Twain. As you know, Mark Twain had a lot of wise sayings. And he said this, it's not the things I don't understand in the Bible that give me trouble. It's the things that I do understand. And I'm not sure what he was referencing when he said that, but this is one of them. To be able to have the ability to forgive those that wrong us, even when they're in the wrong, and even when they don't apologize to us for what they've done. And we're still called upon to forgive them, that our relationship with our God can be what it ought to be. Pardon in prayer. Let's look at it tonight in Mark chapter 11. Verse number 25 says this, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. The command to forgive. He says in verse 25, when you stand praying, I would that you would forgive. I hope you will forgive. I want you to forgive. No, he gives a command. Forgive. It's not a debatable issue. It's not an option. It's a command. If we try to pray with unforgiveness in our heart, we are disobedient to God. If we pray with bitterness towards someone else, God is just kind of sitting back and listening and wondering when we're going to catch up. Wondering when we're going to pay attention. Wondering when we're going to realize that we really can't cut. You know that one, it's in Matthew chapter 5, before what we read in Matthew chapter 6. If you bring your gift to the altar and you have aught against your brother, leave your gift there, go make that right before you come back. Sometimes we get down in prayer and begin to ask God for this and ask God for that. And God reminds us that we are harboring something against someone that's affecting our fellowship with God. And he speaks to our heart and we put it off. How can you have answered prayer that way? How can you have peace with God? How can you have the peace of God when you're still struggling with something that God has given us a command to do and we've not yet done it? So there's a command to forgive. What does it mean to forgive? The definition of forgiving. The word forgiving means to send away. All right, to send away or to let it go. Some of you Disney fans will know what let it go means, all right? To put it off or to let it go. And that, it sounds simple, doesn't it? Let it go. Well, preacher, if you knew what that person did to me, put it off. Let it go. Don't let it hinder your prayer life. Nothing is worth hindering your prayer life. I'm not saying that what somebody did wasn't egregious. I'm not saying what they did wasn't wrong. I'm not saying what they did shouldn't be, God shouldn't do something about it. But I'm saying that don't let it affect you in your relationship with God. And that's the whole thing. It's not just our relationship with that person. You know, most of the time people do something that offends us, that we harbor, they don't even know they did it. They don't even know it happened. And we carry the whole thing around. God says we need to forgive. We need to learn how to send it away, to put up. You know what the opposite of forgiveness is? Holding on to it. And that's what too many Christians do. Hold on to it for 20 years. Hold on to it for a long time. Not forgetting, not forgiving what someone has done for them. To no longer hold someone against someone a wrong that they have done to you. That's what forgiveness is all about. You know what I love about the Word of God? It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides to the asunder, the joints. I know that when I'm saying this right now, you're not even thinking about what I'm saying. You're thinking about that situation. You're thinking about that person. You're thinking about that circumstance. And right now, the Holy Spirit of God is bringing to your mind a situation that this all runs into. And now you just need to confront it. Have I forgiven? Have I taken care of that? Or to this day, is it still affecting my relationship with God? The definition is to send it away or to let it go. Now that's easy to define. It's difficult to do. And that's our second point, the difficulty in forgiving. The Lord gives us some commands. Love one another. That's kind of easy most of the time. He gives us some commands that are easy to obey. Be witnesses unto me. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. All right, on the first day of the week, let him lay in store as God has prospered him. There's some commands in God that are fairly easy to obey. This one's not necessarily in that category. This one's a little deeper. This one comes a little closer to home. And it's a difficult command to obey. A.W. Pink, the Bible commentator, said this: our corrupt nature thirsts for retaliation. Our corrupt nature thirsts for retaliation. Somebody did us wrong. Either we seek revenge or rejoice when revenge is fulfilled. Somebody did us wrong and we don't go out of our way to even the score. We don't go out of our way to get back at them. But something happens to that person and we kind of fist pump. They had that coming. They deserve that. That's the wrong spirit on our behalf. And that just shows the corruptness of our nature. When someone wrongs us, our flesh gets upset. And please, I'm preaching to the choir. Nobody here could say, "Preacher, you don't mean me. I don't have that problem." Well, unless you're dead and in heaven, yes, you do. Because it's part of our corrupt nature. And it might be tomorrow that somebody does something to you and it'll remind you that you have that corrupt nature. And so the Lord tells us that we need to forgive. It's not going to be easy. Nothing we always do that we're commanded to do is always easy to do, but we need to do it. Unless nothing offends you, nothing bothers you, nobody's ever said anything, so this is just kind of over your head, or you're so oblivious that you've ever done that to someone else that needs forgiving. But for the rest of us, we've got to struggle with this thing of forgiveness. If you forgive, God will forgive. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive. Again, not for salvation, but for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We have to have that forgiveness. Even when they repent, many times our harbored bitterness still rejoices in retribution, in them getting what they deserved. And I think many times we look at situations and that's the first thing we're looking for. Why did that happen? What must have happened? They must have done something. Isn't that a philosophy? Comes from pagan tradition, I think. But if something bad happens, it must be, karma. That's what it is. Must be karma. No, that's not what it is. There's a difficulty in forgiving. Notice, thirdly, the deed of forgiving. It says in verse 25, and I would have written this so different if I could have written it. And when you stand praying, forgive. Notice the next phrase. If you have aught. I don't like that word. You know what aught means? If you have aught. Anything. There's no exceptions. But. No, there's no buts. No exceptions. Nothing outside the realm of it. It encompasses everything. It includes everything. It doesn't allow for any exceptions. If you have aught, anything, against any. Come on. If I have anything against anybody, I mean, where's my loophole? Even taxes have loopholes. Where's my way out of this? There is none. If you have aught against any. Man, that's an all-encompassing, an all-inclusive command that we have to keep. Anything. Small. It's usually the smaller things that bother us more than the bigger things. The bigger things are so big we can almost deal with it. The smaller ones are the ones that eat at us and bug us to death. The ones that are unseen or below the surface. The ones that we don't pay that much attention to. And the Lord gives us a command that we need to be forgiving. The command to forgive in Mark chapter 11. Then the consequences of forgiving. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 6, our other passage. It is in Mark chapter 11 also, by the way. I guess we'll come back there in a minute and I'll show it to you. But look at Matthew chapter 6. Again, this is a separate time that Jesus is teaching this. And yet he's saying the same thing. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 14, we read it, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I want to say it. This will be the third time I think I've said it. This is not in the context of your eternal life. Not in the context of our salvation. But in the context of our relationship with our heavenly Father, our forgiveness. When we do not forgive, we are walking in contradiction to the commands of Jesus Christ. When we're walking in contradiction to his command, our lives cannot be blessed. We cannot be happy. We cannot have the joy of the Lord. It benefits us to be obedient to what he commands us to do. And he said, if you forgive, your Father will forgive. But if you forgive not, neither will your Father forgive. The consequences of forgiving. Look back at keep your place in Matthew 6. We're going to be there, but look back at Mark chapter 11. We're going to flip back and forth here. Here's how I know people don't like this, other than the practical aspect that I know it. Verse 25 in Mark 11 says, "And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses." Verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." That's pretty negative, isn't it? If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. So you know what I do? You know what you do if you don't like that verse? You do what the ESV and the ASV and the RSV and the CEV and the NIV and the TV. Not the TV. You do what all those Bibles do. You take verse number 26 completely out of the Bible. There is no verse 26 in other than the King James Version. There is no verse. You know why? They don't like that verse. They don't like the thing. And you know what happens if you don't have that verse? You go through life with unforgiveness, not knowing that verse in that context and that passage told you that if you don't get that thing straightened out, you're not going to have the right relationship with your Father which is in heaven. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And all those words are there for a reason, to teach us and instruct us and let us know that this is an important truth. We need to be forgiving. How much should we forgive? How often should we forgive? I mean, the same person offends you more than once. How many times till you can seek retribution? I've heard preachers preach, you know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Well, you only got two. So if they slap you on one, you turn. They slap you on the second one, you can deck them, because you only got. I don't think that's what the Lord intended by that, by just giving us that number. So how many times do we have to forgive? Just once? Twice, and the third time we can deck them, the third time we can do whatever we want to. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. The Bible is always gives us the answer to any question we have. Luke chapter 17. I know you know your Bible, so you know the answer before we even get there. But look at Luke chapter 17. Wouldn't you have asked the same question? When the Lord says, forgive, if you don't forgive, you'll not be forgiven. Wouldn't you say, but Lord, you don't know this. You don't know this person. How many times do I have to forgive them? Verse number 3, Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day. Now, if you hang around him enough to be seven times a day, that's your problem. If he's already offended you five times in one day and you haven't gone home, you got your own relationships to work on. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again, and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, I love this, increase our faith. Wouldn't you have said the same thing? Seven times in a day, you know, another place he said 70 times seven. And for you mathematically attuned people, that's 490 times. And if you're keeping score and keeping track of how many times, and you're up into the 300s or 400s, you have a problem right there already. So the problem is, if we don't forgive, neither will our Father in heaven forgive us. The reciprocation, if ye forgive not. Forgiveness is a personal decision. It's a personal decision. Nobody can make you forgive. They can make you, we've been parents, right? We've been grandparents. Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. Why are you telling me that? Because Dad told me I had to. We've all been told to do that. It's a personal decision. If it's not from ourselves, it really doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't matter. Now, I'm not, let me back up real quick and tell you that, parents, still teach your children to say I'm sorry. We have lost some great parenting skills over the generations here. And teach your children to say, I'm sorry, when they need to say, I'm sorry. But when it comes to our relationships and forgiveness, it's a personal decision. You decide whether you forgive or not. And when you make that decision whether to forgive or not, you are deciding whether your relationship with God is right or not. But it's a personal decision. Only you can decide. But God will deal with you accordingly. How you deal with others in the matter of forgiveness will determine how God will deal with you. It's not do unto others as you want to do to them. It's not even do unto others as you want them to do to you. It's do unto others what's right, regardless of anything else. And our relationship with God is based on us doing right one with another. Maintaining. Sometimes you got to walk away. Again, seven times in a day? Nope, that's five. See you tomorrow. We'll start afresh. We'll start new. We'll start early. But no more today. Sometimes you just got to get yourself out of a situation that's like that. That's bad for that. Because you're maintaining your relationship with God. And you don't want others to affect that. But it does when we make our own personal decisions. So that's reciprocation. If you forgive, or if you forgive not. Now, we break it down to the two, the positive and the negative. The positive is, verse number 14 in Matthew 6, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's the positive side. A great reward, because it meets our greatest need. Our greatest need is forgiveness. Every single day. Again, not unforgiven sin that affects our salvation, but unforgiven sin that affects our fellowship and our relationship with God, and in essence, with one another. Many times we have to humble ourselves to make something right, to seek forgiveness. Neither will your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I want to be forgiven by God. I want to walk in fellowship with Him. So I have to forgive others. Sometimes people slander and malign, say things behind your back, and it comes out to light and you find out about it. Sometimes it's not true. But doesn't it still bother you? You know, I learned many years ago. You can't try to run down every rumor. Well, who said that? You'll never find out. You'll never get to the root of it. Forgive and move on and get over it. Sometimes you do know where it comes from and where it came from. What do? Same thing. Forgive and move on. Why? Because that's not worth this. All right? The horizontal is not worth the vertical. Don't sacrifice that relationship with God over things down here. This life, this world, is full of circumstances and things that want to steal our joy and rob us of our joy and take away the sweetness of our fellowship with God. That's the devil's goal. And he'll do whatever he has to do that. Don't let him do it. Now again, it's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. And so that's the reward, the positive side. Now there's the retribution, that's the negative side in verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's the negative side. The positive side, you forgive, you're forgiven. The negative side, you don't forgive others, you're not forgiven by God. God's telling you, you got something you got to get right. You know what we call that in the Bible? The law of sowing and reaping. When we don't offer grace, we don't receive grace. When we don't offer forgiveness, we don't receive forgiveness. So why should we give it? Not because the other person's worth giving it to. All right, take that out of the equation. I'm not forgiving them because of what they, or you're focusing on them. Don't not forgive them for what they do. Forgive them for this relationship here. Because if you don't, neither will your Father in heaven. It is, you see, a small letter A. It's a fair principle. That's what I love about the Lord. Nothing's unfair in His commands. It's a fair principle. Reaping, sowing. Look, if you would, keep your place in Matthew. Go back to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. If you show mercy, God showed mercy. If you show forgiveness, God will show forgiveness. The psalmist said it in Psalm 18, verse number 25. Right there in the middle of the Bible, the book of Psalms, chapter 18, or Psalm 18, verse 25. David wrote this, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward." How we deal with others is how God will deal with us. That can be a scary thought if we're not careful in maintaining the right relationship. The retribution, it's fair. Matthew chapter 5, if you're back there, look at Matthew chapter 5. Right before, in case you didn't know this, that's right before Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 7. Well-known verse, part of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Why should we forgive? To be forgiven by God. So that when we mess up, when we slip up, we can come to God and say, "I'm sorry," and God will say, "I accept your apology." Instead of saying, "Hey, what about that? Why haven't you said you're sorry to that person?" You need to get that right. It's a fair principle. Secondly, or small letter B, it's a firm principle. There's no wiggle room around it. There are, as we said earlier, there are no loopholes. It's a firm principle. There's no ambiguity. You like that big word? I had to find a big word to throw in here somewhere just to impress somebody. I don't know who it impresses. There's no ambiguity. It's clear. It's precise. Forgive, be forgiven. Don't forgive, don't be forgiven. It's not complicated. You can even understand it in a King James Bible. You can give it to your kids and they can figure it out. All right, there's no uncleanness, no vagueness, no difficulty in it. You want to forgive? You want to be forgiven? Then forgive others. It's a firm principle. And thirdly, it's a fearful principle. When we set our minds on revenge, when we set our minds on evening the score, our minds are not focused on the right thing. When we're seeking a way to get retribution, when it consumes us, or not even consumes us, but comes back every once in a while and reminds us, we're not in a right relationship with God. If we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, we'll not be forgiven. Isn't it simple? Isn't it clear? Can't be any clearer than that. Let me give you one biblical example and we'll close with this. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. You see how we're going to different places in the scripture and just the few that we have time for tonight. This is a biblical truth that's all throughout scripture. Old Testament and New. About not harboring that bitterness, about having that spirit of forgiveness. It's not what the world teaches today. The world teaches not to forgive. Hold on to it. Blame others. Have a victim mentality. But God says forgive. That's why His word is so contrary to society. Always has been. In Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 23. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one of his servants was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. All right, one of the servants was behind on his back taxes. He owed the king 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The king's going to get his money. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, the king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, notice this, and forgave him his debt. How much? 10,000 talents. An enormous amount. And he forgave him the debt. But, verse 28, but, there's the turnaround. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Can I tell you that's like a dollar? That's not close to 10,000 talents. One that owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, just like he'd done to the king, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. He'd been forgiven, but he wouldn't forgive others. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. That grace that had been given to him, he couldn't pass on to someone else. His debt had been forgiven, which was much, much larger than the debt owed to him. Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord That's the king, all that was done. And his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I don't know if I want to write at the end of that chapter. Wow. Because that's human nature. That's the corruptness of the flesh. We can easily look at that guy and blame him and accuse him. We don't know the circumstances. We don't see it. We just know he was given forgiveness by the king and he couldn't pass it on to somebody else. We've been given forgiveness by the king. Pass it on. Pardon. Pardon in prayer. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.